Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How nice it is when I say, praise the Lord, there's feedback. It's almost like a new feeling. It's a great feeling. Amen. Are we waiting to go stream, brother, or are we stream? We are waiting? Okay. Before we start streaming, show of hands once again, who has done the Acts in 3 days challenge? The Book of Acts challenge. 1, 2. Okay. Well, I encourage all of you to do it and join us. My mother finished yesterday at 6 something in the morning, I think is what she said, and I finished mine at 11:56 at night. I finally got through it, through all that's going on and my day-to-day and whatnot. I made time to make sure, and I was determined that I was going to finish it tomorrow before midnight. So praise God. Amen. All right, brother. So just so you're aware, we have been live streaming continuously every single service. And there's a little routine that we follow. There's a cue that I wait for. There's so that way everybody's on the same page. So please bear with us for a little bit. I guess eventually we'll get used to it. So I'm ready, brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord once again. Welcome everyone who has tuned in for this evening live stream. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from BCFC, Baltimore Christian Faith Center, Randallstown, Maryland. Just so you know, right away I'll go ahead and say that we have reopened the doors. So if in case you are wondering, we are gathering back again in God's house and all are welcome. And as I have said in the recent past, I am not requiring or making it mandatory for people to wear masks. I'm only encouraging it. So if you feel as though you're propelled to wear a face mask, that's perfectly fine. And you come and you worship. You worship with us. For the past few services, it's been great. It's been great being here in the house of God and basking in His presence and on His Word and just the presence of fellow believers back again in the house of God is a wonderful thing. And the other thing is, if in case we're not starting promptly at the top of the hour, it's because we are holding service. So we are worshiping, or there's announcements, or the people are being ministered by the opener, something like that. So moving forward, it will not start promptly at the top of the hour. It might start something like 20 minutes after, 25, 30 minutes after the live stream will start. But by all means, we do encourage, highly encourage, for everyone to make their way down to the church house. Praise God, to the house of God. Let us start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we worship You, and we bless Your holy name, Lord. We love You. And Lord, I ask that You would speak to the hearts of everyone, Lord, both here and watching this live stream, or even if it's after the fact. I pray, Lord, that You will minister to them, Lord, that they would see You and hear from You directly, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Be glorified, Lord, and be magnified. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when you think of a God-centered life, what's the first thing that you think about? A God-centered life. Sometimes people think it's continuous meditation on the Word of God. Okay, that's fine. Continuous prayer. That's perfectly fine too. Good deeds. Yes. I go to church 6 times a week, sometimes 7. I mean, I've grown up, it felt like it was 5 times a week. No, church house. Or we're on the streets passing tracks 4 or 5 times a week. But nonetheless, putting our focus of life into the proper perspective is vital to our salvation. Now, as far as a God-centered life is concerned, the Bible says in the New Testament, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, right, and all its righteousness. And before we get to our favorite part of the verse, which we're going to get everything, we'll be blessed, and all these things shall be given unto you. The very first thing that it says is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. The very first thing, which ultimately implies a God-centered life. Sure, we all have heard that many times, but do we really do what God says in regards to this verse? Everybody knows this verse by heart, but do we really keep up with it? Do things get in the way to keep God out of the central focus of our lives? And I venture to say that most of the time, they do. Certain things do come in between us and the times that we want to spend praying and the times that we want to spend meditating. It could be a vast variety of things. And now, an obstacle we face is taking our eyes off the target, taking our eyes off the goal. I just finished mentioning just before I came on right now live, I asked the congregation if how many of us have taken on the challenge of reading the book of Acts in 3 days from beginning to end. And I will have to say that I just made it yesterday. I read it in 3 days. And I was determined to do it in 3 days. So I finally finished, at 11:56 p.m. yesterday. Finally, in bed. My wife is witness. But sometimes it's a struggle. And the point that I'm trying to make is the obstacles that we face sometimes takes the focus out of that goal. What obstacles am I talking about? Family, work, and everything else in between. Circumstances, responsibilities, deadlines. These are the obstacles that I'm referring to. And this is just something small. Potentially, all of us want to have a time, first thing in the morning, I want to devote 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes before I get up, take a shower, get ready, or after work. Or you might even go the next step and say, I want to get up every single morning at 4 a.m. and pray. And then when 4 a.m. comes, you're just so tired. So you're like, oh, Lord, I bless your name. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity. And then there it went. I'm guilty of that. I've done that a couple times. I'll be the first to say it. But nonetheless, obstacles, distractions, and things sometimes can get in the way. Distractions, earthly things, whatever the case might be. And in fact, having a God-centered life sometimes can be hard. I have seen individuals and I have seen preachers and men of God and women of God who do live a God-centered life, but I also do notice that they are extremely disciplined. They really go the extra mile to do just that. I mean, Walt Strong, how many times does he take communion in a day? 3 times? 2 times? Twice a day? And then Sid Roth also just heard takes communion twice a day. That's determination, that's discipline, and sometimes that could be hard. And there are so many things to do and so little time to do them, seems like. And eventually we develop a system of priority or a philosophy of life and what really is important for us. Things we make a priority based upon what we want to do ourselves. And those really important things are what we center our lives around. Now, what important things am I talking about as far as some of us and what we center our lives around? Some people, and I've known many people like that, center their lives around sports. They know every single team, almost every single player, first and last name in every single roster, and the backup. Or they play sports, or do sporting activities. They have a sporting lifestyle. You turn on a television set and you see thousands of spectators in basketball games, football games, baseball games, golf tournaments. You see that wave of crowd following a golfer when they hit the ball to the next hole, and then that whole crowd comes and follows them, you know. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. And there's nothing wrong with that, just so you know. Personally, I am a huge sports fan. I've played sports as a kid. I played in teams in high school, and I'm not talking bad about sports. I do know a lot of preachers who don't like sports, and they talk bad about it. I would love to live a more active lifestyle than what I currently do right now. I would love to have time to play basketball again or go running again. I ran track in high school, and I really, really liked it, and so forth. But there is nothing wrong with sports at all until it comes between us and our services with God. The same thing could be said about other things like work. Some people center their life around their job. They either work for the money or they like what they are doing. And sometimes if you love what you do, it's never work, so you don't mind investing all of your time. And we have a responsibility of working and providing for our family, so I don't want you to think that I'm talking bad about work. We have that responsibility. And as a matter of fact, the Bible speaks in the nature of this, to where as though we have to provide, we have to work. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 28 speaks about that. And it says, "Let him who stole steal no more, and rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, and that he may have something to give to him who was in need." So, ultimately, there is nothing wrong with work. There is nothing wrong, and I'm not talking bad about working at all. I'm not talking bad about we should not work and all of this and that. No, not at all. The Bible here clearly says that you might have something to give to him in need. Bless somebody. All coming from the labors of your hands, not from what you stole. Right? Earnest. And on another occasion, the Apostle Paul also wrote these words, 1 Timothy 5:8. "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Now, there is a difference between working to live and living to work. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'll say it again. There is a difference between working to live and living to work. Our life consists of more than just a paycheck. 100%. And there is nothing wrong with working a job until it comes between us, once again, and the services of our God. I've said that in the past, before I was serving the Lord 100%, there were times when I would be going from job to job, and I would find an excuse not to come to church, and that was I'd have to work on Sunday, so sorry, I can't come. I can't come to Sunday school, or I can't come to Sunday evening, or whatever the case might be. You have to prioritize. You have to put God center of all that you do. Now, speaking of providing for your family, people may make their family the center of their life. And believe me when I say that I understand the importance of one's family, especially now that I have my own. Being a husband, being a father, a new father, being a brother, being a son, carries responsibility to one's family. All these things. I am still the son of someone. I'm still the brother of somebody. Okay, there is a little one that depends on me and my wife. There's a responsibility to that. And at the same time, we must understand that our family must come after God. Ooh. I thought very carefully on these words. And I thought to myself, am I going to say that? God must always come first. Our family must come after God. Now, this might sound harsh, but believe it or not, this is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned. This is what he said in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 37. But he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I'm just going to leave it right there. I'll leave it alone. I'll drop it right here. I'm walking away. Please, no hate mail. You don't have to call and fuss me out. Pastor, the Lord said it. If this was color-coded, these would be in red. It's out of my hands. There we go. I've covered myself. It's in the Bible. Take it up to the Lord. Once again, there is nothing wrong with loving your family and spending time with them until it comes between us and our services to the Lord our God. This is exactly what I'm talking about. A God-centered life, to reintroduce the title. And we could list things such as television shows, entertainment, education, science, and a host of other things that are not sinful in or and of itself, per se, not sinful. However, in the parable of the sower, our Lord Jesus speaks of those who would hear the word, right? And the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and all. Matter of fact, let's have that. Mark 4:19. And the cares of the world, this is after they heard the word, right? They heard the word of God. And the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for all things entering in, choke the word, and it became unfruitful. So, we live in this world. We have responsibilities. We have to take care of what the Lord has blessed us with, what He has made us responsible for, what we watch over. Now the question begs, so, what does it take to live a God-centered life? We must have our hearts, first of all, set upon the right things. That's the very first thing. And where does it say that in the Bible? That we must have our hearts set right. First of all, Luke 12:34. It says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be." This is a very simple verse. Where your treasure is, for where your treasure is, what is your treasure? What do you hold dear to you? Because whatever that thing is, that is where your attention, your love, your focus, your heart, that's where it's going to be. Now, you might ask, so then, Pastor, how do we do that? How do I do that? By changing the way we think and the way that we act. This is how we can start doing that. A God-centered life. By changing the way that we think, our mind. Can I please have Colossians chapter 3, verses 2? Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. This is where we begin. Now, I am fully aware that this is easier said than done. I'm fully aware of that. And we are physical beings and desire physical things all the time. We see a nice dress on display, or we see a commercial for a nice suit, a nice pair of shoes, a good-looking car, or anything else in between. In the case of my wife, some flowers. And we want it. We want these materialistic things. We envision ourselves. We see it. And sometimes that overtakes us. We are physical beings and we enjoy physical things. But in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, it speaks of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those things get our attention and try our hearts. Now, I am not saying that there is something wrong with having great materialistic things. I'm not saying that there is something wrong with enjoying the finer things in life. Not at all. And as a matter of fact, the Lord wants to bless us. The Bible says that we are a blessed people. The book of Exodus, it's all over it. The book of Exodus says, if you will honor me and obey me, you will be blessed. You will be blessed when you step out of that door. When you come back in, you're still going to be blessed. You're going out and you're coming in. Your food's going to be blessed. Your drink is going to be blessed. Everything you touch is going to be blessed. You will bless others. You will lend, not borrow. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So there's nothing wrong with blessings and liken the finer things, but ultimately, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes and the flesh, the things that try us, the things that call to us. Now, getting to a God-centered life. Another way of working towards a God-centered life, naturally, is reading your Bible and spending time in the Word of God. Nobody has grown closer to God. No one has gone from one step to another step, from glory to glory, without reading His Word. No one. It contains words of encouragement. It contains warning for all of us to abide by. In it, we read of God's plan of salvation for every single one of us, starting from the book of Genesis all the way over to the book of Revelations. And we see how God sent His Son in the proper time to die for our sins. And then all of the promises, all of the commands that He leaves us, and everything else. By reading, we understand how to become a strong Christian and how to live the life that the Lord wants us to live. And just as a newborn baby, just as a newborn baby needs to grow with milk, we need the Word of God also. The book of Peter speaks about that, 1 Peter. And just as a baby grows teeth, trust me, believe me, I know. I have a child who's eating the table. She's chewing on everything, is getting taste tested. If she can grab it, it's getting taste tested. It reminds me sometimes of those old Western movies when they get a coin of gold and they want to know if it's real gold, so they go and they bite it. Seems like my daughter is exact same way. All right, let me see if it's real. Anyways, just like how babies grow teeth and then eventually they graduate to solid food, so we grow and we eat of the meat of the Word of God. Can I please have Hebrews 5:14? But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Yes, this is where we all want to be. This is where we should be. Right there, munching on the meat of the Word. Because we can handle it. Because we can rightfully divide it. Because we have everything discerned. Our senses have been sharpened. We know when we hear from God and everything else. And now, cut your teeth on the basics and then go to the more difficult parts of the Bible, the more profound parts of the Bible, the parts of the Bible where the Lord really goes and speaks to you in such a special way, and then so many other things just make sense. It's almost like it just blossoms. Praise God. And do not just read the Bible and don't just breeze through it, but meditate on it, on the Word, every time and every opportunity you can. And you want to know something? I'm going to share a secret with you right now. A few years ago, this happened to me twice. My father gave me an instruction that came directly from the Lord. The Lord instructed me to read a book. The first time he instructed me to read a book, whatever book I wanted, one chapter at a time, per day. And as I am reading that chapter, whatever comes to mind, write it down. It could be a question. It could be an exclamation point. Something that made sense that clicked. Something that did not make sense, but read it. I don't want to say slowly, but, you know, take your time. Just don't, breeze through it. And write it down. So, which book? Whichever one you want. So I read the book of Proverbs. I'm going to read the book. I like the book. I think I've mentioned this before. From the Bible, yeah. The book of Proverbs from the Bible. Now, I'm guilty to say that I only got just a little bit past halfway through. And then I stopped. But, wow, this time was a time where I just went from here to here, just like that. And I felt it, I noticed it, I just knew it inside. The last time I received orders to do it again, and I decided to do the book of John. And I finished the whole book. And every single chapter I would read one chapter, and I read it very, very slowly. And almost every single verse, I'd write something down. What does this mean? Why did he say this? Where was he when this happened? Those sort of things. And a lot of things just opened up, right? And I did get confirmation that the Lord was extremely pleased when I did that. And potentially that could have been something that was prepping me for such a time as this. But nonetheless, the point that I'm trying to make is just don't read the Bible just to read it. Meditate on it. Munch on it. Salivate. All of that. Process it. Pray before you read and pray after you're done. For the Holy Spirit to come and open your mind to the things of God. The very first psalm in the book of Psalms compares the man who meditates on the word of God to a tree that is planted by a river of water. That's the comparison that King David makes. The very first psalm, or the very first chapter, pardon me, the very first chapter, in the first couple of psalms. Man that knows and understands the word of God will be like that tree that David is talking about in Psalms chapter 1. Able to withstand the trials and the temptations of this world. Now, the next thing, besides reading your Bible, is cast aside all things that would hinder your growth. Cast aside the things that are sinful, the things that grieve the Holy Spirit, even the things that you're doubting, that you're wondering, is this right or is it wrong? It's probably wrong. Put those things aside. In the book of Peter, 1 Peter 2, it speaks of casting aside malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. All these things, put them aside. Leave it alone. Why? Because sin will separate us from God. And right now we're talking about a God-centered life. Okay, let's focus on the topic here, God-centered life. And if sin is going to separate us from God, we have to put those things aside. The book of Isaiah speaks about that. Isaiah 59:2, please. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." It's very hard for me. It's probably very hard for anybody to tell someone else that the reason why the Lord is not answering their prayers is because they are a sinner. Repent. No. We approach with love. We are people of love. We show love. But in all seriousness, if we know that there's something that is grieving the Holy Spirit, if we know that we are doing something that is contrary to the Word of God, we need to make things right. Because ultimately, we want the Lord to hear us every single time we pray to Him. And we love to have an answer just like that. But, of course, in God's timing. Now, do not justify remaining in sin, for it will only become more prevalent in your life. The Hebrew writer tells us to lay aside the weight that so easily ensnares us. It comes from Hebrew 12, verses 1. And the lack of faith may have been what the writer had in mind in addition to that. But any weight that hinders our services to God must be set aside. The first step is obeying the gospel of the Lord. And then When you do all these things, it's very, very important for you to know one thing. Remember who you are. Remember who you are in Christ. First of all, you are a Christian. And a Christian is a child of God. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In obeying the gospel, we acknowledge that our Lord Jesus, as both Lord and Christ. This means both your Savior and also your ruler. And you cannot have one without the other. If our Lord Jesus is your Savior, He must be your King. And if He is your King, He must be your Savior. Therefore, this is the reason why we obey His commandments. And so, it's very important for us to be faithful in the attendance of the congregation. If you have a way to make it to the house of God, if you have transportation or means, it's extremely important for you to attend Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, Wednesday night, Wednesday evening Bible study, and all the small events that we have throughout the week. Week in and week out, we have women's prayer meeting, we have men's meeting, we have prayer chain, we have acts of mercy. So many things that we can do to be involved in the work of the Lord and also to fellowship with one another in the house of God. And why do congregations have Bible classes? And why do congregations have fellowship meetings, potentially, you might ask? Why is that important? To answer that question, we think of the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 11. I just read this. And most of us have already read this verse. Barnabas and Saul of Tarsus, otherwise also known as the Apostle Paul, where he taught for an entire year, where he taught. Verses 26 says, they were first called Christians at Antioch. If you go back and read Acts 11, verses 26 says, right then and there, where Paul taught for an entire year, was the very first time that we were called Christians. The spiritual growth at Antioch was directly connected to the teaching that was done there at that time. And for that reason is why it's extremely important for us to fellowship. It's important for us to be in the house of God, to study His Word, to learn His Word, to fellowship, to be blessed. We are the ones who benefit from our Bible classes. We are the ones who benefit from the sermons, from the prayer meetings, from the givings, from the worshiping, from the singing, the praises. We are the one who benefit from that. This is why we come to the house of God. We grow spiritually when we are doing spiritual things. We grow spiritually. That is the key to living a God-centered life. Putting spiritual things first and the physical things second. Praise God. I didn't want to stretch this out any more than what I had to. I don't want none of you to forget what's being said. I'm very conscious of that. But I want to conclude things with this. Going to heaven, our salvation, being with the Lord one day, is more important than driving a new car, or going to a ball game is so much more important. or driving a new motorcycle. Being a godly husband, being a godly wife is more important than a bass boat, and is more important than a new house. Much more important. As long as we have that mindset, we can have the bass boat that we wanted and the new house without letting them get in the way of us in God, without getting in the way from God. As long as we seek His kingdom first, the Lord is going to bless us with a house. The Lord is going to bless us with that car, with that boat, or whatever it might be, whatever the desires of your hearts are. So, the question begs now, where is God in your life? Is He front and center? Is He priority? Praise God. Let us close with a word of prayer. We bless Your holy name, Lord. We exalt Your holy name. Lord, right now I pray that we would make You, Lord, front and center in all that we do. May You take, Lord, full priority of our life. Lord, may we not let the jobs and the job that You have blessed us with be a hindrance, Lord, of us coming to worship You, to Your house. May, Lord, not our family, our spouses, our responsibilities be a reason to why we cannot 100% devote ourselves to You. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will convince everyone, Lord, listening to this message and watching this. I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit will speak to them directly. And Lord, may You convince them of all that they need to do to make You center. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to You in all that we do. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.